Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. Thanks for coming out to be a part of Christ Church. Are you glad you're here? Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, welcome. Today I'm going to talk for a few moments about one of my favorite subjects. And Mark, if I could get some more sound up here on stage, that'd be awesome. One of my favorite subjects. I said that to somebody earlier today, and they said, what are you going to do, talk about chocolate? No, I'm not going to talk about chocolate. I said in my favorite subject, and they said, oh, so you're going to talk about yourself. I know, like people were just, but no, actually, I'm going to talk about the church, and I'm going to talk about Christ Church a little bit today. We have so many new people, and I want to maybe fill in a little bit of information about Christ Church and who we are. And how Christ Church, I think, is a little bit unique and different from maybe some of the other places around us or even some any other place. In fact, did you know in the book of Revelation, there are seven letters to seven churches. There was a need for seven different churches. And Christ, he wrote a letter to each of them, telling them of what his design for them was. And so today I'm going to spend a little bit of time, and I want to talk about the design for Christ Church of Orlando. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, in the 18th verse, Jesus has a conversation with the apostle Peter, and here's what he says. He says, I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. The back part of that conversation was Peter's having a conversation with Jesus, and the other disciples are there. And Jesus says, what are people saying about me? Like, what are they saying about me? If it would have been in that day, they were like, what are they saying about me on Facebook? Like, what are they saying about me? What's the hashtag about me on social media? What are they hashtagging about me on Instagram? Anybody here on Instagram? Like, yeah, you have to be under 20 to be on Instagram. So I'll ask the question again. Anybody here on Instagram? Like, yeah, go ahead. It's like, yeah, I'm 20, you know. But Jesus was asking the question, like, what are they saying about me out there? And the disciples say, well, some people say that you're a prophet. Some people say that you're Elijah and you've returned. And Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And their response is amazing. Peter speaks up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but only my Father, which is in heaven. And I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now, here's the amazing thing about that is he said he's going to build a church. Jesus loves the church. When I hear people say like that they don't love church or they don't love the church, it's kind of interesting to me because as far as I'm concerned, if Jesus loves the church, I think maybe we ought to love the church because he's in love with the church. Jesus saying, I'm going to build a church. I love my church. In fact, did you know the word church was actually not a common word up to that point? Jesus had almost coined a new word, church. And he says, I'm going to build my church. I love my church. And so for the next few days, I'm going to talk to you about I love my church. Jesus says, I love my church. And for me, I want to say the very same thing about my life. I want to say, I love my church. So here's the day. Jesus is saying, I love my church. So I don't think it's wrong for us to say, I love my church. I love my church. In fact, if we're gonna put some incentive to asking you to say, I love my church, because people love all kinds of stuff. People have strong emotions about Jeremiah's ice cream. Is it ice cream? Is it Italian ice? I love Italian ice. I love pasta. I love Domino's. I love Brick and Fire. I love Chevys. I love Fords. But Jesus says he loves his church. And so, you know what? I don't have any problem saying, I love my church. I love you guys. I love this church. I love Christ Church of Orlando and what we're doing. In fact, here's what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to ask you to share with your friends that you love your church. We're going to ask you to do social media. The disciples didn't have social media, but you do. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. Anybody know what a hashtag is? I feel like I'm having to educate a bunch of folks today. Here's what a hashtag is. It looks like the number sign, and then you put a phrase behind it. So the hashtag for Christ Church is going to be hashtag I love my CCO. Come on, and here's the deal is if you'll put I love my CCO If you'll put it out there, hashtag I love my CCO, in the next 4 weeks, we're going to give everybody that does that on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we're going to give everybody a I love my church t-shirt that does that in the next 4 weeks. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you don't have to, like, I saw somebody just pull their phone out just then. They're like, I'm doing it now. So here's the deal. Let your friends know you love your church. And so can, before I get into the message, can I just take a moment and say, a lot of times people post about Christ Church and they'll put something good. Please only put good stuff, you know. But they'll put something and then, like, they'll put, like, I love my, like, I love CCO, or and that's good. But you know what? No one else knows that you're saying that. So if you want everybody to know what you're talking about, let's do this. Let's show this. Always put Christ Church in as at Christ Church ORL. Twitter, Facebook, all of those. It's at Christ Church ORL. But if you'll do this over the next 4 weeks, but here's what we really want. I love my CCO. You're going to get a free t-shirt at the end of this message series. Isn't that, don't you love your church? Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I love my church. And here's the awesome thing about this, though. When Jesus said he loved his church, here's what he said. I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell can't come against. And it seems to me like there's a lot of people that have negative things to say about the church today, but let me just tell you, Christ is building a church. There's a work that he's doing in this generation. And even with all of the negative things that have been said, and sometimes we don't get it right, but let me just tell you, behind this whole movement is a person. His name is Jesus, and Jesus is going to make sure that he's always doing that auto-correcting and bring us right to where we're supposed to be, because he loves his church. And so the awesome thing about this is there are a lot of people have said for many years, like, the church is going down. There have been people that have said, like, the church is going to go away. The Beatles back in the 60s said that God was dead and that ultimately Christianity would go away. And let me just tell you, we're still standing. Like, here we are, and the church is stronger than ever. So let me just tell you, it's because Jesus is behind it. He loves his church. And so let me tell you another story about a man who became a major player in the church of the New Testament. His name is Saul. Saul is a persecutor of the church. And as he's persecuting the church, one day he has an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And this encounter is so great that he actually has a name change. He's no longer known by who he used to be. He now has a name change. So I want you to turn with me to Acts, the 26th chapter. And we're going to read, because Saul, who has become Paul, he has the opportunity to talk to King Agrippa. And when he talks to King Agrippa, he tells the story of how he came to know Christ. Here it is, Acts 26, verse 12. One day I was on such a mission to Damascus. He was going to persecute Christians. Armed with the authority and the commission of the leading priests, about noon, your majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. And honestly, like, I could just stop right there, and I'm going to read the rest of this out, and then I'm going to come back. But I could just stop right there and say, there are so many people I know that, like, God has a design on their life. Like, God's going to do something in their life. Maybe it's your kids or your husband or your wife. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's somebody that you've been praying for. And it seems like they're running as hard as they can in the opposite direction. They're going to have an encounter with God at some point. And he's like, it's useless to go against my will. It's useless to go. It's only going to cause you greater pain if you go against what I have for your life, because the plan I have for you is a better plan. And so Saul, not really knowing who he is, he speaks up in verse number 15 and he says, who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Somebody say servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them that I will show you what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and will be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed the vision from heaven. I preached to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea and also to the Gentiles that all must repent of their sins and turn to God. I'm going to take a few moments and I want to kind of break some of this stuff down because there are some things that are inside of this. There are some things that are kind of packed down inside of this, that there are some themes here, that there are themes. They're not just what God called Paul to do. In fact, Paul wrote so much of the New Testament, some people say 40%, some say if you include Hebrews up to 60% of the New Testament. And so the awesome thing about that is this, he had a major influence. And when he talks to the church, when he talks about his conversion, when he talks about what God had designed for him, it's also in many instances what God's designed for us. So inside of this story are three re-words. I'm going to give them to you already. Repentance. The second one is regeneration. And the third one is redemption. Repentance, regeneration, and redemption. I want to read back in verse number 15 when Paul has this encounter with Jesus. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. So now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. Now get up on your feet. Get up. Get up because there's something for you to do of worthwhile. Get up because there's a plan that I have for you. Get up. Stop just sitting there and listening. Stop just doing all the stuff that you've been doing, the direction you've been taking. Get up. If you've been knocked down, get up. If you feel like your life is going nowhere, he's saying to you and to me today, get up. Get up. If you're here at Christ Church of Orlando and you've been sitting still in your walk with God for a while, get up. Get up and read your Bible. Get up and begin to pray. Get up and begin to worship. When you come to church, honestly, what everybody else is worshiping, get up and worship. If there's a time for us to pray, get up and pray. Get up and get involved in the walk that God has for your life. There are a lot of people that they come to church and it's like they're time carding Jesus. Okay, Jesus, you have an hour and 15 minutes to change my life. Go. You know? He's like, you're going to have to get up. There's something that I have for you. There's a purpose. There's a plan I have for your life. Now get up and make a difference. And here's what he says. I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. I'm going to show up in your life. There's going to be an encounter, and I'm going to appoint you to be my servant. Jesus appears so that he can appoint. Many times we think that we're going to go to church, and the only reason why we're going to go to church is because, like, we're going to feel good, and we'll see some friends, and we'll hug, and it's going to be really good, and we'll say, maybe they'll sing my favorite song. If they sing my favorite song, it'll be a good day. I hope they don't sing that other song because I can't stand that other song. You know, it won't be a good day if they sing that song. And if Susie's not there, I won't be happy if Susie's not there. And it just won't be the same. And here's what he's saying. I'm going to show up because where two or three are gathered in my name, Scripture says he shows up. Like, do you have any idea, like, his presence is here today? Do you have any idea, like, God of the universe is here? When we begin to pray, the God who flung stars into the universe, he's here with us today. The God who rose from the dead, he's here with us today. Our God, our Savior is here. And he doesn't just show up for us to say, we went to church and didn't we? Like, we had goosebumps and I cried a little bit. Man, I'm so glad they have those boxes of Kleenexes in there because I cried a little bit at church. So it must really. He shows up. He appears to appoint us. There's an appointment. There's something he has appointed for you to do. There's a purpose behind an encounter. It's not just for him to show up and you to feel good about it and go home and, like, and again, time card your religion. But the reality about it is this, there's an appointment behind this. Well, what would that appointment look like? Here he says, I've appointed you as my servant. Somebody say servant. Now, let me tell you what this word servant is. The word servant actually means labor. There's a labor involved in this. In the original meaning of this, there's a connotation that it actually had to do with a ship. And down in the belly of a ship, there would be rowers. And they would row. And it would cause the ship to move because of their movement. It would cause the ship to move because of their effort, because of the manpower that they put into it. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, I've called you to be a servant. I've called you to get on board. I've called you to serve somewhere, not just to show up, but to get up and serve somewhere, to serve in children's ministry. Do you know that when you serve in children's ministry, you have a rower in your hand and you're making this thing move forward? Somebody give our children's ministry people a big hand. Amen. When you stand out in the parking lot, you know, and honestly, like, people all winter long will volunteer to be in the parking lot as parking lot attendants. I'll serve in the parking lot. It's humble, but I know I'll do it until August comes. You know? But when you're standing out there flagging cars into parking spaces, did you know? You have a rower in your hand and you're making this thing move forward. When you show up at 7:30 in the morning and you're making coffee, can somebody thank you, Jesus, for coffee in the morning? You know, when you show up and you're making coffee, when people come in and they fold bulletins and they copy things for the children's ministry, when they serve in the youth ministry on Wednesday night, when they serve in classes on Sunday morning, throughout the team, throughout the week, when they meet in homes, throughout the week, when the tech team shows up and the singers show up and they're getting ready for something, do you know that you're creating something? Something's getting ready to move forward, and you are a part of that thing because you're serving. You've been appointed to serve. If you're not serving here at Christ Church, listen to me today. Listen here. Get up and do something. Somebody say a big amen right there. Amen. It's not just here. Let me just tell you, you're helping this thing move forward. You're helping ministry move forward. When you're a part of We Care. We Care, we go out for 2 months and we go out and we meet up with other people in other organizations, community service organizations, and we serve with them, volunteer with them for a day. When you sign up for a missions trip, you're moving the kingdom of God forward. When you sign up and you're a part of what took place here last summer at Pulse, and when Pulse took place and we served for 24 hours a day to all the community first responders, when we did that for 24 hours a day, let me just tell you, you're helping the kingdom of God move forward. It's not just a matter of coming to church and sitting in seats. It's a matter of getting up and serving. There was a pastor here in Orlando that he was talking to me, and he told me that he had been talking to some other pastors, and they were talking about Christ Church and the service that we did after Pulse. And he said, if you think that was something that was just created the week of Pulse, like they woke up that morning and they just decided, okay, let's do something. He said it was the most natural thing for their church, because if you know Christ Church of Orlando, you know that for years they've been serving outside of their walls of their church, serving this community. Let me just tell you, that's the heart of this church for us, every person, to have a rower in their hand and help the kingdom of God move forward. You've been appointed to be a servant in the kingdom of God. Amen. I hope that you'll serve. It's his church and he loves it. And I love his church. Here's what he says. You get up on your feet, for I've appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. It's a witness to the community. It's a witness to the community. Honestly, can I go ahead and just preach for a while? You'll get stuff in second service, first service didn't get. It's a witness to the community when they walk up onto the property and there's people standing there smiling and hugging them. You know, that doesn't happen in all churches. And I mean, I love all churches. I'm thankful for the other, but I'm thankful for, I love my church. It's a witness to the community that when somebody in our congregation is sick, that you take food and visit them. It's a witness to the community that when somebody falls down here at Christ Church and they have a mistake in their life, that we love them back to the place where God wants them to be. It's a witness to the community. We've been called not just to serve, but to be a witness. In verse number 16, here he says, tell the world what you have seen and tell the world what I will show you in the future. Tell the world what you've seen. That's what a witness does. Man, I may not know everything about theology. Is something you could say, like, I don't know everything about theology, but I know what Christ did in my life. I know the difference he made in my life, and I know the difference I'm supposed to make in somebody else's life. That's what a witness does. Verse number 17, he says, I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Now, let me explain this. He says, I will rescue you from your own people. These are the Jews. And the Jews considered themselves to be, I mean, they were God's chosen people. But on some level, they considered themselves to be a little bit higher, and everybody else was dogs beneath them. And here's, Jesus is saying, through Paul, he says, the Lord told me, I'm going to rescue you from your own people. Have you ever seen anybody that thought they were heading in the right direction and they needed to be rescued from their own actions? Anybody? Yeah. Ever see anybody in a marriage and then all of a sudden they formed a bond or a friendship with somebody outside of their marriage and they needed somebody to sit them down and go, hey, whoa, you need to be rescued from that extra relationship that you're getting involved in. Have you ever known anybody who was involved in addiction? And as they were moving, there had to be an intervention and set them down. Hey, listen, I know that you're enjoying this. I know that you think that there's no harm to this, but you're going in a direction and you need to change the direction of your life. Here he says, you had to be rescued from your own people. The direction of your life, you had to be rescued from your own people. And then he goes on and he says, and for the Gentiles, I'm going to rescue you from your own people and I'm going to rescue you from the Gentiles. And then I love this next phrase because he says, yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. I love what I find humor in the Bible. And maybe other people don't, but I find humor in the Bible. It's like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, he's having this conversation with God and God says to him, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And as though God had stuttered and Saul didn't understand what he said, yes, I said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Sometimes there are places where God's going to send us, and maybe it feels like it'd be the last place that we would go. It's the last thing that we're going to do. He's saying, get up, I have a work for you to do. There's something, don't get comfortable where you are. Don't get comfortable in your seats. Don't get comfortable in exactly where you are in your walk with God. You're called to reach those that are far from God. I'm sending you to the Gentiles, people that don't look like you, act like you, walk like you, talk like you. They're going to come into this place and I'm going to change their life forever. I want to do a work in people you don't even know or haven't seen or understand. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And listen to these next words, to open their eyes. To open their eyes. I believe that we are an eye-opening church. I believe we're the kind of church that when people walk in here, that this is the kind of experience that maybe they've been in church their entire life, but it's an eye-opening experience for them. Maybe they've never been in church in their entire life, and this is an eye-opening experience for all of them. But we want them to come in and say, man, I had no idea like music could be good. I had no idea that church people would be friendly. I had no idea that you could have fun in church. And it's an eye-opening experience. I'll go ahead and talk for a second. Just bear with me. Like I'm going to talk for the next 2 minutes about this, and it's in place of therapy. So just bear with me for a second. Somebody left a post on one of the social media sites and said that church has way too much fun. I'm like, seriously? In my mind, I'm thinking like, they need an eye-opening experience. There ought to be joy in serving God. Somebody, this ought to be an enjoyable journey. One of the things that we do here at Christ Church, if you're new here, let me tell you a little bit. One of the things, the events we do a couple of big day events aside from Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day. Everybody does those. But a few years ago, I was in prayer and I was contemplating the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and that how differently our lives look from him and even the way people, like when Jesus came to the earth, he went to the house of Matthew, who was a tax collector that was in great rejection from the religious community. He went to their house and had a party. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, Jesus was actually kind of known for a person who was always in the center of a party. He even went to funerals and turned them into parties. And yet church today is really more known for being more like the funeral than the party. And so So we came up with the idea that we were going to hold events, a couple of events a year called Invitations, and one of those is on Super Bowl Sunday, one of them's in the fall, and they're just simply parties for us to invite people to come and have an eye-opening experience that you can have fun and you can get to know God and your life can be changed forever. And we want to do these with excellence. We want our church to be a church of excellence. We want us to do the best music that we can, have the best children's department we can, have the best greeters that we can, have the best building. Aren't you thankful for the building today? But let me just tell you, even when we were in that old building, we worked hard to keep that building up. Somebody said to me, he said, like, you guys, have we heard that you might tear it down in the future? And I'm like, you have no idea what it takes to keep it up. That's not the immediate plan. But let me just tell you, you have no idea. We wanted everything to look like excellence. And you have no idea how much stuff in that old building was held together with duct tape. I mean, seriously, there were props on the stage that were held up by safety pins, you know? But we wanted to do the best that we could with what we had, and now we believe God's given us a step forward. We want to do it with excellence, and the reason why we do it all, are you ready? Is so that people's eyes will be open. That their eyes will be open. We need people's eyes to be open that church can be loving. We need people's eyes to be open. We want their eyes to be open that people actually care when they say they care. We want their eyes to be open that church isn't about judgment. It's instead about love. We want their eyes to be open that it is possible for us to come together and there be diversity, that there be blacks and whites in the same congregation. Somebody say amen. We want their eyes to be open that rich and poor can be in the same congregation. We want their eyes to be open that it doesn't matter what your history is and what your path is, you have a future here in Christ. We want people's eyes to be open, and once their eyes are open, their hearts will turn. Verse number 17, let me read on. Here it is. This is the story of redemption. And I will rescue you from your own people and the Gentiles, and I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. We want their eyes to be open and their hearts to turn. When their eyes are open, their heart will turn. When people experience the power of Jesus, when they encounter the nature of Jesus, they will immediately experience repentance. Their hearts will change. They'll experience their need for Jesus. When they experience his power, when they experience his nature, they'll experience their need for him. And their life will go from darkness to life. They'll go from the power of Satan to the power of Jesus. And let me just talk for a few moments about the power of Jesus. I don't want to just show up here, guys. Listen, I don't want to show up here and just sing songs with great musicians and great singers and it be great music. I want the music of Christ Church of Orlando to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You might not even know what I'm talking about, but let me try to explain it to you. There's a moment when you're singing the same notes as everybody else. You're singing the same songs as everybody else. But there's a moment when the God of the universe shows up in the room and it seems like something in the atmosphere changes. It goes from just being a song to being a place where the presence of God is. That's what I want here at Christ Church of Orlando, because it's the power of God that changes people's lives. Listen, it's not a philosophy. It's not better teaching. It's not even better music. You know what changes people's lives? The power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what changes people's lives. Paul said these words. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God that brings men to salvation. I want us to have a congregation where the Spirit of God is, where the power. And I believe that the power of God is in this place to change people's hearts. The power of God is in this place to change people's lives. We're not just here to sing about God. We're here to encounter God. We're not just here to sing about Jesus. We're here to experience his presence and his power. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. He said, I've not come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I've come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I've come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you, the worst thing that could happen here at Christ Church of Orlando is for us to say that we're people who walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and the Spirit be far from us. I want the presence of God to be filling everything that we say and everything we do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read on. Let me just finish this out. Their eyes will be opened. Their hearts will encounter me. Then they will receive forgiveness. Somebody say then. When are they going to receive forgiveness for sins? After their eyes are open. You know what we want people to do? We want them to come in and live like Christians before they're Christians. We want them to look holy before they're actually declared holy. We want them to live a changed life when their life hasn't yet been changed. Here's what he says. Their eyes have to be open first. And you know what we have to do? We have to get them in the building and have an eye-opening experience for them to have their eyes open before their life can change. Then they will receive forgiveness of sins. You see, there's a process, the eye-opening process. The eye-opening process takes place, then they turn from darkness, then they turn to light, and then they receive forgiveness of sins. It's not just that somebody's going to walk in. We don't walk out into the street and go, hey, receive Christ or you're going to go to hell. We don't walk up to friends and just say, hey, you come to know Jesus or you're going to burn. You see, there's a process. Their eyes have to be open. Their heart has to turn. They have to start to understand that there's light, and they turn from darkness, turn to light, and then their life is redeemed. Their life is changed. Let me just finish this out. And they will be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. They will be given a place. They'll be given a place among God's people. Let me just talk about that place. Christ Church of Orlando, as far as I'm concerned, is a place to love. Christ Church of Orlando is a place where people's hearts are changed. Christ Church of Orlando, as far as I'm concerned, and this is why I love our church, it's a place where the Spirit of God dwells here. And people love in exceptional ways, and the Spirit of God does things in exceptional ways. Let me tell you a little bit about our church, if you're new here. A few years ago, and this is a story, but it's one of the many stories. A few years ago, there was a lady in our congregation who was going into the doctor's to have a surgery. And no one could go with her that day. She didn't have friends or family that were going to go with her. But somebody brought up her name in choir practice, and they said, can we pray for her? She's going to have this surgery tomorrow. And so while she was at the doctor's getting ready to be taken in for surgery the next day, she was sitting there in the doctor's office waiting room, and a woman from Christ Church walked in. And she said, hello, don't I know you from Christ Church? She said, yeah. And she said, are you here to see the doctor also? And they didn't know each other. And she said, no, I'm not. I heard you were coming in for surgery and that no one was going to be with you, and I came to sit with you. That's the kind of church I believe God lives in. I believe that's the kind of church he's designed. The kind of church where people actually truly love and care about one another. And it's not just designed so we walk in and walk out and, oh, I shook three people's hands and man, that was good. I did my service. It's where we truly, truly love. And we connect with people many times who are hurting. And they might not even say that they have a need, but they do. I want that kind of place for Christ Church. Here's what he says. I'm going to make a place for them. I'm going to make a place for them. When I first moved to Orlando 140 years ago, a long time ago, I went to visit another church. And I walked in and they sat me down towards the back. And I sat down near a couple, and when I sat down near this couple, they introduced themselves to me during the fellowship time. Then the preacher preached, and we had told each other a little bit about each other during that fellowship time. And the preacher preached, and they were on the prayer team that went down front to pray for people, and so they went down front and prayed. And the altar, they were praying for people for a long time. So I decided that I was going to leave. So I walked out of the building and I walked to the far side. I was at the end of the parking lot and I heard somebody go, "Paul, Paul." And I turned around and at the door of that church was that couple up there waving their arms. And they ran to me and I walked back to them and they said, "We know you're new in town. Will you have lunch with us?" Honestly, like I was stunned by it. I was on staff at another church, and they knew I worked at another church. But you know what they did? They made a place for me. They made a place for me to be loved. They made a place for me and said, "Will you just come and be with us?" Do you know what I want for Christ Church of Orlando? I want us to have a place where everyone has a place. Where every person that walks into this building, they sense that they're loved. Every person that walks in this building, they sense that they're needed and that they have a place, not just to be loved and needed, but ultimately for them to grow, for them to serve, and for them to fulfill God's call on their life. I don't know about you, but like I have a problem with keys. Like I leave keys everywhere. I have my key fob. I was already running a little bit late this morning, and then I had to run all over my house because I couldn't find my key fob to get in my car and get here. I went down to visit some friends this week down in Stuart, Florida. And when I walked into their house, they had a big tray right on the countertop, right inside the door. And on that tray was a place for their keys. It was their billfold. It was all kinds of stuff. And so while they were in the other part of the house, I went through their billfold and some of their financial stuff. But they left it out there. But here's the deal. I was running around today, and honestly, like I was going, "Man, I've got to get one of those trays for my house so I'll know where my keys are." You know, I'm telling you a little probably more than you want to know about me, but like I have a deal, like some days when I come in the house, like I take my shoes off right at the door. And some days I don't. Sometimes I'll go to the bedroom and I'll take my shoes off in the bedroom. Sometimes I'll go to the living room and I'll sit down on the couch and take my shoes off at the couch. And so like, so then I go to get dressed the next day and I'm like, "Where are my shoes? Like, I don't know where those shoes are." And here's the dilemma with it is I need a place for my shoes. And I have a place, but my shoes aren't in that place. You see, here's what he says in this scripture. I want to create a place for them. You see, when I need my keys, I need them to be in a place where I can get them so I can use them. When I need my shoes, I need my shoes to be in the right place so that when I need my shoes, I can get to them quickly and I can use them. Here at Christ Church of Orlando, let me just say to you, you have a place. You have a place here at Christ Church, a place to be loved and a place to be nurtured. But you also have a place where you need to get up out of your seat and say, it's not just a place to sit in a seat, but a place to find to serve. A place that you'll be in children's ministry, in youth ministry, a place in the prayer ministry, a place on the praise and worship team, a place in the parking lot, a place on the cafe team, a place somewhere in ministry here at Christ Church of Orlando, and you'll be at your place so when God needs to use you, you'll be in place. So I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask you, will you find your place here at Christ Church of Orlando so every person that walks through the door can have an eye-opening experience, fall in love with our Savior, and maybe too, they'll say, "I love this church." Will you pray with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, I come before your throne, and I thank you, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church, and I thank you, Lord, for the lives that through the years you've saved and turned. People who didn't know you, didn't believe in you, people who were hopeless, came to this place. And Lord, I call on you today, and I'm asking you that you'll open up the windows of heaven and you'll pour your Spirit into this place, and that our hearts will be filled with your praise and our hearts will be filled with gratitude, and we'll be here to receive what you have for us and that we'll get up on our feet, that we'll get up and do what you call us to do. Lord, I'm asking you that we'll be the church that you call for us to be. We'll do what you want us to do. Lord, let your spirit reign here, and let your power fill each and every person and each and every life. And Lord, if there's someone here today who hasn't turned or surrendered their life to you, maybe this is their day. And so I'm asking you, dear Lord, on this day, that you'll touch them. If you're here today and you've not surrendered your life to the Lord or said yes to him, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to say yes to him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you consider just saying yes and having that brand new encounter with God where your life will be changed forever? Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son. I acknowledge that he came to this earth, that he lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose again to pay for my sins. So anything that separates me from you today, I lay it down at the cross. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, come in. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you in the days ahead so we can help you get started on this journey. Yes, I see it. Yes. You're joining. There were three people in the first service. There were three people last Sunday that received the Lord. Is there another one in this room? Yes. Yes. I need God in my life. I'm opening my heart to him and saying yes to him. Yes. Amen. Amen. If you just raised your hand and said yes to the Lord, in front of you is this card in the seat that said, I gave my life to the Lord. I surrendered my life to him today. Take a moment and fill out that card. And as you fill that out, we want to help you get started on your journey.